And just to make clearly, at the beginning there were only one book, no first and second, so we're going to take one package and look to the book of Samuel. Let's pray. Father, we come to the meditation of your word to look for Jesus in this very wonderful book of Samuel. And we pray that we find him and that we see the typology this book presented to us. And then we apply that to our life. Another attribute, another quality of the Messiah, the Savior, Christ Jesus. Enlighten us, help us to do a right interpretation, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Samuel, I call, you can have hundreds of types in the book of Samuel, in any book of the Bible, but I choose one that will be obvious so that you know how to do the typology. To me, it's called the intercessor, the intercessor. I have received from the Diocese of San Francisco a book of prayer, and in that book of prayer, for different reasons of prayer, in different seasons in which you pray, you have a different person you pray to. And so they have a different intercessor than the Lord Jesus. I call them and I sound a little confused, and I like to know, who is my intercessor? Well, depend, he said, in the season you are in, and depend in the needs you are in. And so I asked them, it is possible that I can find only one and take care of me. He said, no, you need to go through all of these saints who will help you. That's the provision that God has done for you. I said, well, thank you very much. And I said, I will put them in my computer, and I hang up. Now, we're going to see tonight if we need this list of people, and if we need, because in the Old Testament there was a list of people. See, that's what is true. And I want to call them and I want to say, I found in the Bible in the Old Testament this list of people. Why I don't pray to these ones? And I want to follow on like a little lamb is good, just to find out exactly what they believe. But in the Old Testament, there was a list of people that you got to pray for. And not in the New Testament as you're going to see it today. Now, let's go in the introduction and see if you remember, let's see if you remember how Jesus was portrayed in the serious progression. And in Genesis, it's obvious. Jesus is the seed of the women, the son of the women. In the book of Exodus, was also obvious. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Then in the book of Leviticus, we have a combination of the sacrifice or the high priest. Then in the book of Numbers, there was the serpent that was raised up, and you have to look on it. Then in the book of Deuteronomy, they said, you hear this man. He was the prophet. See, the prophet Jesus. Then in the book of Joshua, he was a captain of our soul. Then in the book of Judges, he was the judge and lawgiver. He was the one who gave us the things. And in the book of Ruth, remember that chapter 3, he was the king's man redeemer. He was the one who can redeem us. The law cannot redeem us. The law was closer than Jesus because the law was first. I remember as John 1:18 said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are today in to a topic discussion, and this topic discussion will be on the book of Samuel and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want to know. How does the book of Samuel portray the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? And in order to justify what we do in the night, I go over again the general information that we need to look upon. Now, I mentioned this morning in the book of Mark that the second appearance of the Lord Jesus was to some people. And right here in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, the Lord Jesus appear, all right, to these people. And in verse 27, he's going to reveal himself to them. And the Bible says, that beginning at Moses, I'm talking about Luke 24, 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So in order to not only show himself in person, but so that they believe, Jesus went into the scripture and show in the scripture how the events that happened in Jerusalem 3 days ago were really forecast in the scripture. Later on, he meets with the disciples, as we saw this morning in Mark. And in verse 44, in order to convince the disciples, the 11, the Bible said that he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. So if you want to have a revelation of Jesus, it's obvious by these two verses, one to two people, the other to 11 people, that you must look in the Bible. You cannot have a revelation of Jesus by you coming here to church or by me coming here to church and tell you, no, the Lord, I saw the Lord because this, I have a dream, or I have this, or I have the other. That is not the way that Jesus did in order to present himself. Now look at it in John chapter 5, and in verse 39. He's talking now to people who knew the law, to people who were familiar with the law, people who were familiar with the scripture. And look at what he says in John 5 and in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are, that's the scripture, they are they which testify of me. So the Bible testify about Christ, and that's why I'm interested to use the Old Testament to show you how to use it for the glory of God presenting Christ. The obvious scripture is in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10, by verse 7, it is obvious that there the Bible is self-explanatory where to find Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Now some Bibles may translate it in the volume of the scroll. Well, a scroll is a more proper word, because see, at that time the book was invented quite after, way after, 500 years after this. So they have scrolls, and so some Bibles mention a scroll. But in the volume, or whatever you have, a scrolls or book, it is written of me, say the Lord Jesus. So I have no doubt that what we're doing here in the night is very biblical and is very proper to look upon a book in the Old Testament and to say, I want to get one picture of there to show Christ. Because imagine, suppose that a Jewish person is talking to you and you want to witness to a Jewish person, this is very useful. You can go in any book of the Old Testament and show how that book portrayed the Messiah. So tonight, here are the specific informations about the book of Samuel. And the first information is Samuel background. Let's look into 1 Samuel in chapter 2 in Samuel and read from verse 18 to 26. And then we're going to read chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. And so get a flavor of Samuel background. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 18. You remember, he is a son of a lady, Hannah, who cannot have a child. And Hannah promised to the Lord, if you give me a child, I lend him to you. I give it to you. Samuel was leased to the Lord, if you allow me to use that word, like you lease a car. Okay, Samuel was always Hannah's son, but she leased him to the Lord with no term whatsoever, but just for the time the Lord want to use it. And let me read from verse 18 to 26 just to get a flavor of that background. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. This is when he grew up, being a child girded with a linen ephod. So he grew up in the house of the priest. Moreover, verse 19 now, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So he was entirely in the house of the priest and in the temple. And remember, this was not in Jerusalem. This was in Shiloh, in the northern part of Israel. Verse 20. And Eli blessed Elkanah, his wife, and said, "The Lord give thee seed of these women for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now I imagine that when Hannah visited with Samuel, she told Samuel what happened, this story. Remember that she was taken as a woman who was drunk because she was praying without voicing. He was just moving the lips, and the priest thought that she was drunk, and she confessed that she had a drama, that she had no child. And then she prayed, "I'm going to give everything I got to the Lord." And when she did, look at what the Lord did. Look at here in verse 20. He gave to the Lord, and verse 21 tell us that she conceived and had three sons and two daughters. What a large family. What a large family. It makes you happy that when you gave everything to God, God in return will not forget about you. Believe me. Believe me. This is a great teaching. So Samuel grew up in a home that they knew how to give themselves unto God. Now verse 23, and he said unto them, "Why do ye such a things? For I heard of your evil dealings." Let me read verse 22 again. "Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Recently, we are seeing in television that, unfortunately, some priests have taken certain liberties in their conduct. But this is not new. Look at what happened here in verse 21. Here the sons of the priests, and look at what they did. And so verse 23 now, and he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I heard of your evil dealings by all these people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I heard ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him?" In other words, who's going to pray for you? "Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." Verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew on, and was in favor both with the Lord and with men." Now, why I made that emphasis? I made that emphasis because Samuel was like in a sandwich background. He grew up with a holy mother. He then have the puberty into the holy place, but there was a bad environment. A bad environment. The children of Elkanah took the liberty to do personal relationship, intimate relationship with people of the congregation. And Samuel saw that. But look at what happened again in verse 26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and with men." In other words, he kept his integrity. Is that right? That's what verse 26 tells me. He walked right with God and right with men. He had nothing to do with the children of Elkanah. Now, that's, for you parents, a great encouragement. Because as soon as your children, I don't care how much you protect them, like I did with Miriam, I went the whole yard, you know, I just went to Christian school and grammar and Christian school and high school, but then comes the university. And then you have to trust the Lord, what he did in her heart. And she went through Davis University with flashing colors. And I thank God for his grace. And that's what God's going to do with you. You just do your work with your child when they are little, and then you have to trust the Lord to the rest. And here is Hannah, who loved that baby, but gave it to the Lord, and she thought, well, the house of the priest is the best place to be. But in the house of the priest were these children who were misbehaved and morally were a wreck, and Samuel never took part with them. What a great protection of God in the life of Samuel. I want to look in chapter 3, verse 18 to 21, just to look again into these situations. In verse 18, and Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems him good. See, Samuel was a call of the Lord. And Samuel said, what do you want, Lord? And Samuel grew. And the Lord was with him. And did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba. See, Dan is the northern city. Beersheba is just before the desert of Sinai Peninsula. And from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What a great reputation, don't you think? And the Lord appeared against in Shiloh. Shiloh was the temple, not Jerusalem. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now we're going to study a man who grew like the Lord Jesus in the midst of a society full of sin, but in purity, in such a way that he did not mar his life and he can be used of God. What a great thing is when a man have a reputation like that. You see that verse 20, that from Dan to Beersheba, from the north to the south, he was clean as can be, and they knew that that man was a man of God. That's the best credential he can have. Now, why do I think that Samuel then represents as Jesus as an intercessor? For three events in the life of Israel where they had to call on Samuel to pray. Now, remember verse 20. He was clean. And in verse 21, he had access to God. This is called in theology an epiphany, or the appearance of God. No, God already moved away when he chose Moses. He already moved away and dealing eye to eye with Israel. And he just dealt with Israel through Moses. And then the people won other people. And so God dealt with Israel through judges, remember? And now through the prophet, see? And so Israel got in trouble, in political trouble. Chapter 7, let's go. As an intercessor, Samuel was an intercessor under a political trial. Look at in chapter 7, verses 5 to 14. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you and to the Lord. They're going to war. And they gathered together to Mizpeh and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on the day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpeh. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. You remember the Philistines? They were small or tall. They were tall people. All right? They were the giants. See? Remember 1 Samuel 47. There was the great giant, the Philistines. So they really were tough. In verse 8, please. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord. The word to cry is the word to pray. It's not that he was crying like a child crying, but really pray with the whole heart. See, Raquel told me on the phone today, when they took Miriam from here, I cried to the Lord. Why, Lord? See, that's the prayer that God really wants, the whole heart. And Samuel, in verse 8, and Samuel ceased not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistine. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for the burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, why did Samuel took a lamb before prayer? You know why? Because the Savior was not yet the intercessor, and so he was unclean before the Lord. So before he can pray, he need to have an offering where his heart will be clean, and then he pray on behalf of that offering. See, we pray to Jesus, who is our offering, and we don't need to make any other offering. He did it for us. But look at all the work in the Old Testament. All right, so Samuel respected God. Even though he had an access to God, he knew that the only prayer God will hear is the prayer of a saint. And the prayer of a saint, his heart need to be clean. And in the Old Testament, you clean your heart by making an offering to the Lord. And that's what happened here in verse 9. And the Bible said the Lord heard him. Verse 10, and as Samuel was offering the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and this confused them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Beth Akar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto the Lord help us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistine all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistine had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Why? Wow, what a man of prayer can do for the country. I mean, this is amazing. Political freedom, political tranquility, political peace, even with his archie enemies, the Philistines, came about because a man of God cried with a whole heart. As I listen in television, the news, and about this lady Rossi, or whatever is the name, who now declare, what do you call it? That Rossi, that fat girl. Rosie, she confessed now, publicly, she's a lesbian. And we are making a big deal about it. Barbara Walters, who's supposed to be our emissary of the elites of interviews, interview her, and I listened to the interview. I called the station and said, well, this is a play. I just want to ask questions. And I tell you, it made me sick to see how far we are from being protected from God. When I read passage like this, I say, is no man in the land that can pray for our nation and restore our nation? When I see the Congress rejecting the nomination of this great man, I just did a background on him. Thanks to Brother Plicka giving me information with Dobson, and I went into there and I said, I'm a lawyer, I need to make a background. They give me all kinds of paper. Great man of God, Methodist in his roots, a great man of God. rejected because he is not political, is religious. He believed the abortion is a crime. See, Samuel, they went to Samuel, the people went to Samuel and said, Samuel, please pray. I like that. No conditions, no political things, just pray. And Samuel prayed and God delivered. I think with all my heart that our nation went too far, crossed the line of no return. But not your home. But not your home. And you can pray in your home with all your heart. And God's going to bring you peace and victory. Believe me, I believe that. So here it is. A political situation. Terrible situation. And what the people, the general did, they went to Samuel and said, Samuel, get in connection with God, please. We are in trouble. And Samuel prayed. And God delivered. Let's turn to chapter 2 now, an intercession and a personal trial. A man of God always is under trial, and so he needs to defend himself. And so, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 7, an intercessor at their personal trial. Chapter 8, verse 1 to 7. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his son judges over Israel. Now, the name of his first son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. That's right at the edge of the Sinai Peninsula, the last city of Israel. And his sons walked not in his ways. You got it? You say, what, Pastor? I mean, here's a godly man. Here is a man that God goes and visits with him. His sons are not believers. Look at that. Verse 2, they give you the names. And verse 3 said, and his sons walk not in his ways, but turn aside from look and took bribes and perverted judgment. So when you hear that a judge takes certain motivations to deviate the judgment, that's no new. That's from all. That's our sin nature, the acts in that way. Verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah. Now, they could execute. The law of Leviticus said if a judge take bride, it had to be stoned. They could do that. But Samuel, see? Samuel, they have compassion for Samuel. And so they came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. He took no decision. It's a prayer, personal crisis. Samuel, see, the two sons of Samuel were the first judges of Israel. First judges of Israel. You had the book of Judges. The first two judges were the sons of Samuel. And here is the, it's no good. And now Samuel is between the wall and the sword, we say in Spanish. And before he opened his mouth, said, let me pray. Now that's personal crisis. And he intercedes, see? And verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. I thought that they have not rejected, applying this scripture to our nation, that they have, the people of this committee, what is called the Justice Committee or the Judiciary Committee, have not rejected the judge and President Bush. They have rejected God. They have rejected God. You know, if some of these people are believers, they should be scared to death. Look at what the Bible said here, see? He says, Samuel, don't be afraid, for they have not rejected thee, they have rejected me. The eye should not reign over them. In other words, they don't want anything to do with God. And so poor President Bush and poor maybe some Republicans who are believers and who know better, they have no power because they were overruled by the majority. I feel sorry for that majority. I feel sorry. They rejected God. According to all the works which, I'm reading verse 8, they have done since the day they have brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other God, so do they also unto this. Don't worry, these people care less about God. They just serve anything else except me, so the problem is not personal. But one thing I gained from this, when he was in personal crisis, he prayed. And God answered. And God answered. Finally, he was an intercessor under national stress. Let's go to chapter 12. Chapter 12. And verses 14 to 25. He was an intercessor under national stress. Chapter 12, in verse 14 to verse 25. Here's what the scripture says. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him, this is what Samuel said, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reign over you continue following the Lord your God. Now he's given the recommendations because he's going to select Saul as the king. But if ye, verse 15, will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. It's simple. Either we obey God or we not. And if we obey God, we can pray. If we do not obey God, boy, we are against him. Verse 16. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunders and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunders and the rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. When a pastor is straight and said what he said and mean what he said and walk in his words, the congregation is afraid. Now look at here. Verse 19. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to us as a king. Now they wake up. They said, you know, and all the problem that we have one more. We did a wrong political choice. Imagine if this committee who reject this judge, what's his name? Pink? Vickery. Imagine. Come to President Bush and said, President, Mr. President, sorry. We read everything about the man, because if I'm able to pull all the records from the time he was in grammar school, anybody can pull the records. And we found the man honorable. Sorry, Mr. President, we want to restore him back. We fear the Lord. Imagine what a great revival will be in America. Imagine. Well, that's what happened here. See? So Lord, Samuel, wrong. We asked for a king just for an imitation. And the book of Kings say that. You will see it next Sunday or the Sunday I work on that. They want just imitation of the Gentiles. And Samuel, verse 20, said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all of your heart. You see, the Lord is merciful. It's all right, you did wrong, you asked forgiveness. Please, don't dwell anymore in your sin. Verse 21, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name. Wow, that's it. In the New Testament too, that's another picture. The Lord will not forsake his people. He will not walk away of the church, and he will not walk away from Israel. See, that's what the Lord said. I will not walk away. For the Lord will not forsake his people, verse 22, for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. The reason why God saved you is because he wants to, and he's very pleased that he saved you. In spite of your weakness, he understands that, and one day you will be perfect like he is, and so the Lord will not walk away from his people. What a great comfort we have. What a great comfort we have as a church body. The Lord will not leave us in spite of ourselves. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. Wow. Wow. That's challenging for a pastor. Regardless how deep the people go in sin or how deep are against you, you pray for them. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only one thing, please. Fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great a thing he has done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. So in intercessor under national stress. And let me review this, and then we put the message that this is for us. Samuel's background was magnificent. Grew up with a holy mother. He was leased to the state church. Was raised by a holy priest in the midst of a mixed evil people. His stress was prayer. That's where I got my idea. Our church will pray. I asked this other pastor that I met. I said, how many times your church? He told me, our church teach Hebrew, teach Greek, teach this, teach the other. We have the largest library in this area here in the church. And I said, pastor, how many times you meet for prayer? So we don't have prayer meeting. So I want to tell you. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting, Friday afternoon prayer. If you are around here, we invite you to come in and I take you to lunch. You pay. I tell you, that was fun. You know, I love him. But I want him to teach a lesson that prayer is the strength of a church. It's not the books. It's prayer. Prayer is the strength of a church. So he prayed for the political country. He prayed for the personal trials of his life. And finally, when God had mercy on Israel, he said, I want to pray once again that God will bless you. Now, what's the picture of? If you see now on the screen, the message is in, look in your Bible, and oh, you can look in the screen, Romans 8 and verse 34. In Romans 8 and in verse 34, the Bible tells us what Jesus is doing, as we learned this morning, that he's sitting at the right hand of God. Who is he, the one who condemns? It is Christ Jesus, who died, yes, who was raised, look at it in the screen, from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, and what is he doing? Who intercede for us. We don't need any more Samuels. We don't need any more between me and God, because that's what Samuel was. He was between, actually the Bible said that he was a prophet, but when he prayed, he was a priest. He brought the needs of the people to God. You don't need to come to me and say, oh, I can pray for you. But you don't have to come to me and say, pastor, will you pray for this? Expecting that if I pray, I will get better blessing than you get. The intercessor is not here in this pulpit. The intercessor is at the right hand of God in heaven. And you pray. And you cry. until God bless you. Thank God that Samuel was a great man. He was a great man and a great intercessor. But thank God that we have an intercessor that doesn't have to offer a lamb before he prays. See, Jesus is the Lamb of God. So he offered himself, and he is pure. The Bible said that he is the high priest because in him was not found any sin. And so now in heaven, he's the offering and he's the high priest, and we can go to him and cry out our life, and he hears us, and he intercedes for us. That's what Samuel tells us in a nutshell about the Messiah. He will be the intercessor. Boy, that we need it. All right? Father, thank you. Thank you for Samuel. Give us a picture of our duty to pray. But thank you for Jesus who went up into heaven, who takes our prayer and bring them into the very presence of heaven. Thank you, Father, for Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.